Hello and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host Adam Richmond, and joining me as ever, it's Mr. Joe Devine.
Hello there, no leaky bucket today.
Well, today's special, isn't it, Joe?
It is special, and I'm not leaking.
You are not leaking because you are fully containing a big old list of things. We are doing a little bit of some special episodes because of reasons. People don't need to know why, but we're doing them. And before anyone thinks that this is my idea or I came up with a format, I've got to nip that in the bud. Okay, format is pure Mr. Leaky Bucket Boy.
Yeah, I don't think I wouldn't worry. I don't think anyone would have thought it was your idea.
Listen, I don't know. I can't get into the heads of our listeners, but I think they would listen to these podcasts and think this is pure Rich Mondo.
Yeah,
Mr. Joe Devine came up with this fantastic format of via WhatsApp. He hits me up. He says, pick one from every year for the 21st century. And I said, what? And I ended up picking two because I got confused. Because he actually said pick two, and I read it as he meant one, him doing one and me being one. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what we're going to do.
It was really sweet that happened. Like I feel like that happens in married relationships at times where you go, oh yeah, and we'll get a couple of things. And then just one person shows up with two, forgetting that the other person's even there. You know, it's...
Joe replied, I'd sent this really long list of two per year.
Which I didn't read, by the way, because I didn't want to spoil it.
No, no, of course. And then he said, I'm confused as to why you've picked two. And I thought the game was pick two. No, the game is pick two, but I pick one and Joe picks one.
I pick the other. And some years we might pick the same. I don't know if we will. But I don't, what are we picking anyway? What is the pick?
The pick is, and this is where the funnel will get into, it's ostensibly favourite of the year. Yeah. And we're going to say favourite because the idea of anyone, you or me, saying, this was the best film of 2007 is ludicrous.
It's obscene
and we're
and
not...
And ludicrous.
And it makes a mockery of everything that we speak about.
It does.
This is not what we're about. But within that, favourite could mean the film we remember having the strongest reaction to when we saw it that year. Mm-hmm. It could be the film we've seen retrospectively that is from that year.
Yeah.
It could be the film, and this is going to be a lot of my choices, it's the film that we want people to think we like the most, so they.
It's difficult to untangle from that, isn't it? Yeah, it's difficult that one. I'm fairly safe in saying I've completely untangled from that.
I have too, and I'm always going to flag up. I'm going to flag up like the film I'd love to say was my favourite from a year,
and then that's a good idea.
This is the favourite. Let's be honest.
Yep.
So play along at home.
Actually do. That I would be doing that if I was listening. Have a look on... I didn't know how to research this properly, but Adam told me to go on Letterboxd and you can filter by year. So it took me... I was just doing this beforehand. It's so much fun. I was just flicking through reams of films. And I found a bunch of really great Forget Your Forgets as well, which has bolstered my list. So that was useful for that purposes as well.
This podcast... while not sponsored by Letterboxd, is very much brought to you by Letterboxd.
I mean, it's not technically brought to you. It's brought. It's brought to you with the assistance of.
Yeah.
No one's ever sponsored an episode with that kind of language, have they?
No, and that's why I said that, and I think people got the joke there.
Sure.
But I'm glad that you had to kind of come in there and lawyered. Make sure that the T's and C's were correct.
I just wanted to get in there and make sure, that you weren't making, you weren't suggesting something there.
No, I was just playing fast and loose with language, having fun.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. Play along at home. You go back to 2000.
Yeah.
and all the way up to 2023, and you pick one for every single year. Pick your one.
Pick your one. Pick one. Pick one.
It's even more specific. Pick your one. Your one. And you don't have to justify it. But guess what? That's what we're going to be doing. And me and Joe, we're going to be batting back forth our ones. There can be only one. There can be only one. 23 ones. Is it 24 ones or 23 ones?
It's 23 because we're not going to do 2024 yet because the year isn't over.
But if you count zero, 2000.
Oh, yeah, it's 24.
It is, isn't it? That was fucking me up as well. That was
You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Well, it's worth saying at that point anyway, now we're discussing the numbers of films, that this is going to go across a few episodes, we think. We don't know exactly how many yet, but we're not going to get through them all today. We're going to get as far as we can. So expect some more of this fun in weeks to come.
So here we go. Our favourite films of the 21st century. Pick your one.
Oh. Please pick one. Please pick one. Please pick one. Please pick one. 2000.
The year 2000.
Before you say anything else, Adam,
you're
can I
guess.
Say, I want to say to the listeners, like, I want to guess for every year what you've said, and I want you to guess every year what I've said. And for most years, I think I've got a guess. It gets a bit trickier. It gets trickier.
Yeah.
And I think you've got me, you know, not by hook or by crook. I think you've got me by hook and by crook for the first few years, and that's probably obvious, but...
Listen, you're
plumbing. I mean, my obvious guess for you, I'm plumbing you on the year 2000.
Out of the gate.
Yeah. It's a memento. You've got a memento.
Listen, shut your mouth. It's not fair.
We've talked about that one a fair amount, so that was an easy one for me to get you on. I'm correct, yes?
You are correct.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
But this, the year 2000, it's a good year.
Yeah?
Well, in terms of, like, I've got to go memento because... As I was going over my list, any selection, if someone put that film on and I was, if there was any hesitation about watching it again, it wasn't a winner. Memento, any time, you know, bang it on. But you've got...
You know, now you've said that, you're actually making me change something in a later year.
Good.
That I was unsure about. And now I'm changing it because that's a really good one. Okay, I've done that now.
2000, you've got American Psycho. I'm not banging that on.
It's
a good film. In the Mood for Love, superb. I'm probably maybe going to see that at the Prince Charles.
Oh, can I come?
No, if it comes on. But yeah, sure, you can come.
It's on every month. I just haven't been able to go yet. They have it on a random Thursday every month. I've been meaning to see it for months.
You've got Best in Show. That film is rewatchable as fuck. That's probably...
That's the dog one, isn't it? The dog one.
That's the closest it's going to get to sneaking on Memento.
Is it?
But there's also Sexy Beast, Chopper. Chopper, mate. Chopper. So anyway, I mean, can I say some stuff about Memento?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is, for me, you know, this is my beginning... The beginning of my relationship with Sir Christopher Nolan, as he is now known. This came out. I'm at university. This was back in the day where you made a small film, and the Hollywood indie studios would start sniffing around you, and you could make one up on the tiny film you'd made. He'd made this tiny film called Following, and he gets to make this. Comparatively huge step up, starring Guy Pearce, Carrie Ann Moss, and Joey Pants Pantoliano.
Yeah, half the cast of The Matrix.
Half the cast of The Matrix. You know, I go and see that film, and the fact that it's telling its story forwards and backwards. I'm in my early 20s. It's blowing my mind. It's everything I want. It's the possibilities of cinema, of storytelling. And it, you know, it changes me on a very deep level. And I think it's a phenomenal film.
Yeah.
It is There is nothing. There's not an ounce of fat on it. You can rewatch it again and again, and I will not be gainsaid on Memento.
Well, it's because I haven't had a chance to talk yet. But, you know.
But don't you now say why it's shit, because that can't be what the vibe of this series is.
Not at all. What I was going to say was I think the year 2000 is a great dividing line for you and I as people, as fans of films, because your favourite film is Memento. And I'm not going to go over that. We've talked about this on a few previous episodes, how I feel about it. I don't really like it, but I recognise that it's a terrific movie, okay? But my favourite film...
Wait, your favourite film is... I know what your favourite film is.
I'm not going to tell you what it is. I was going to say is so different from yours. You already know what it is.
Yeah, you've cruelly said mine. Yours is Gladiator.
Of course it's Gladiator.
Here we go. Yeah. This is where we start to get how very different we are as people. We're obviously... You're also a decade younger than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm watching Memento at the cinema.
I'm not watching Gladiator at the cinema. This is the other thing. Like, what became clear when we started to do our research for this episode was the earlier years, the ones we're largely going to discuss today, most of my favourite films are films that a mixture of stuff I've watched back since and really enjoyed, and then some really random ones that, like, I loved at the time. So I've got three films that ran it close for me to this pick, and that's it. I know you mentioned Sexy Beast, you mentioned American Psycho, a few other films of that ilk. I don't really like any of those films. My close were Dinosaur. Do you remember that one? The animated, I can't remember if it was a Disney movie.
Every time you mention that on this podcast, I cut it out.
You cut out my references to Dinosaur.
Yeah, because I just think this is Joe being satirical.
But it's not at all. I genuinely, listen, I was 10 years old in the year 2000, okay? The film Dinosaur... if you don't know what it is, it's a lovely animated story about a dinosaur whose island is hit by a meteor. So he and some of his lemur friends, mammals and reptiles living alongside each other there, by the way, they swam over to the nearest island and they started a new life with another herd of dinosaurs. And the moral of the story is, you know, you have to kind of move at the pace of the slowest. If you stand together, you can face off against the terrifying carnivores. And there's always the reward of a luscious green valley at the end of your plight, which I haven't found yet, but I'm thinking in my life that the luscious green valley must be coming later. Later after the plight, after much more of the plight. But I loved that film. That was a great film. Here's another one that I've mentioned on the podcast before. Space Cowboys, right? I'm not being satirical. As a 10-year-old, I loved Space Cowboys. And I had that on video, I think. And I had no clue who any of these people were. I might have seen Tommy Lee Jones in Men in Black, maybe. But I didn't know who Clint Eastwood was. I didn't know who Donald Sutherland was. I didn't know who the other guy was, whose name I can't remember. I just loved this movie. Right. This movie with these old Americans who were all going in space. And it was, it was great fun.
You see, your Space Cowboys, for me, is Cocoon.
Right.
Because I remember watching Cocoon when I was 8 or 9. And that's about a bunch of old people. And they all go swimming in a magic pool. And it's got alien eggs in it. And it gives them... Right. Makes them all young. Have you heard of or know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen Cocoon.
Steve Guttenberg's in it.
Steve Cocoon.
Directed by Ronald Howard.
Oh.
I think there's something about if you see a film at that age with old people in, you do really, really connect with it because it gives you that warm grandparent feeling and it kind of puts you close to death in a safe way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was watching RoboCop when I was 8 or 9.
Right, yeah. Well, that explains a lot.
And The Terminator.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm just, that's the kind of guy I am.
That's why you like Memento.
That's why I like Memento. I like story. I like to be challenged.
Yeah.
And you like the safe... Broad strokes of Mr. Ridley Scott.
I like America's colonization of the world. But there you go. I think that this is the great dividing line. I'm a Gladiator guy. You're a Memento guy. You know, it's different.
Just different. 2001, A Space Odyssey. That's not my pick. That's just me being playful. Now Joe go first.
Okay, Joe go first. I mean, do you want to guess what I picked?
Well, I mean, it's not even...
You haven't got a hard guess until 2004, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, every year from now on, the next 3 years are going to be Lord of the Rings, yeah, Lord of Fellowship. The Rings 2, and Lord of the Rings 3, and that's what I'm going to call them. So you're Lord of the Rings 1.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I picked Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Ring. But what a year. You said what a year for 2000. I didn't feel that way. For 2001, I hard feel that way. And let me tell you why, Adam. Okay.
It's just going to give you some boundaries.
Yeah, our boundaries.
Give me the five films from 2001 that tells me 2001's a great year.
Just five? Can I do it in my way?
No, do five and then do it. You know, do my way and then do your way. It's just
okay.
Like
I'll do the first five on my list and then I'll carry on.
Oh, for God's sake! Okay, fine. It's fun though to have. Like, because we could just be listing films all
this
day.
This is the only one where I've listed more than four, I think, or more than five. Like, this is just that 2001 was for me a really peak kid year.
It's a massive year. So pick, okay, yeah. But just really dig deep, and I want you from that your list that you've written to just come out the gate, and I want the top absolute five that were champing at Frodo's bit. Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to make it hard for yourself, because 2001's a fucking... It's a pick and mix, my friend.
It's a pick and mix, for sure. Okay. I'm gonna scoot over the ones I think you'll mention.
Okay. Just reveal yourself.
Champing at Fellowship's bit, Adam. Just champing there, just behind. Handful of films, very strong year, 2001. Waking Life, yeah? Oh. Yes. Retrospectively, I did not watch that in 2001, but you know, as a late teenager, I watched Waking Life and I thought, holy fucking shit, what is this film? It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. It made such a big impact on me. I think I'd already seen A Scanner Darkly at that time, but Waking Life is, and if people don't know, it's not really a story. It's a central character who is lucid dreaming, essentially, or uncertain as to whether he's woken up from his lucid dream or not. But really, he's just going around chatting to people about dreams and science, and it's in rotoscope animation, yeah, like A Scanner Darkly. It's absolutely beautiful, and I think it's the first example of a film like that that I'd seen that didn't really follow a, you know, a kind of linear story arc. And I just thought it was fucking amazing. Loved it.
Yeah, that is the next film after the one I've picked that's champing at my bit.
Well, here's another one just on the heels of Waking Life is another animated film. It's Spirited Away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is a beautiful film. And again, it made a huge impact on me. Introduced me to the world of Studio Ghibli. Studio Ghibli. Do you say Ghibli or Ghibli?
I say Ghibli. I'm a Ghibli guy.
I say Ghibli too. Okay, let's be Ghibli guys together. Through that open doorway of Spirited Away, I discovered all of these other wonderful films. But there's something, I know it's probably the thing everyone says about Studio Ghibli films. There's just something about the tone of those movies that is so calming to me and carries me away and makes me feel nostalgic for a time and a place that I've never been or never lived in. And that's so consistent across so many of the films in that catalogue that, you know me, I'm a tone guy. I just love them so much. And Spirited Away, yeah, like that's how strong 2001 is. That's why I feel about that film. It's coming third.
Yeah, I mean, that is the greatest Ghibli. It is perfect in that it's funny, it's dark, it's sad, and, you know, it's... there's the bit where a character remembers their name. It puts me in bits every single time. It's the best. So what's coming off after that?
Oh, well, after that, I'm going to say, I mean, Harry Potter 1 came out that year and I watched that. I'm going to call it Harry Potter 1. I watched that in Houston, Texas. I was there visiting some family that lived there at the time. So it was my first It was my first exposure to Harry Potter 1, the film, any of the Harry Potter films. I sat in an enormous boat-sized Texan cinema chair, chewing down some popcorn and drinking a soda pop drink as large as I was. And I'd just come from the store that sold only Pokemon cards. And I was in my fucking element, man. It's not a great film, but as I went through the list and looked at all these other fantastic films all through these years, something that just kept coming back to me throughout the 2000s was... I will watch all the Harry Potter films now. Franchises. I'm addicted to the Warner Brothers franchises. No,
I have got so little imagination. I will suckle at the teat of franchise.
Oh, Chris Columbus, you say? Yes, please. No, I will watch these films. I'm guilty as charged of a couple of times going through the Harry Potters and skipping the first two. I've done that. I will admit to of doing that. But I still watch those films now, and because I love the books and I love the story and I grew up with them. Like, but it very much sits in center canon favorites. But Harry Potter 1 as a film, no,
absolutely not.
Yeah.
But so when? What's the last one?
Well, it's really hard to pick. I've got to. Then I'm going to pick the
one,
film.
And I'm letting you pick five. Christ!
I'm going to pick the film A Knight's Tale. With Heath Ledger.
Wow.
Which is like, I absolutely adored that in 2001. I loved that film.
Wow. There are so many other films.
I know there are. I've got them all written down here. I know you want to talk about them. Here's one another one that you'll never mention is the film Evolution. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's got one of my favourite one-liners.
What's the line?
Setting for his testicles. Take it! Take it! Take the leg!
Wait. No. It's going the other way.
All right, give me some forceps. I might be able to catch it in his colon.
How are you going in?
Rectally.
I'll get the lubricant.
There's no time for lubricant.
There's always time for lubricant!
Because they're going to go up his bum.
Yeah.
Yeah? They're going to go up his bum.
Oh, no, I got
gonna,
it. Yeah.
It's a good
it's
joke.
It's a great scene. Lovely, lovely joke. Lovely scene.
It's a shit film.
Of course it's a shit film, but my favourite scene, maybe the most famous one from that film, is he is Stifler, Sean William Scott. He's in the middle of an American mall. And there's flying aliens are around there, and Sean William Scott has realised that he can summon them by making the noise of a bird. So he stands like on a kiosk in the middle of this mall, and he starts to flap his wings and go, over and over again. And there's something so simple and joyous about the American films where Sean William Scott makes a bird noise. I love that as an 11 or 12 year old, and that's why it makes my list.
Okay, now you can't say any other films for now, because you've now got to predict my pick.
I know what you
picked.
Continue.
What did I pick?
You picked Training Day.
No, mate.
You didn't pick Training Day.
You're so wrong.
Did you pick Donnie Darko?
Nope.
Did you pick Royal Tenenbaums?
We have already discussed it, mate. Spirited Away.
Oh, you picked Spirited Away, I see.
It was the easiest pick of the whole game. That film is pure joy to me.
Right.
So, you know, I let you say it as your number three.
You shouldn't let me say it. We should say our first films each.
Don't make rules.
I'm making a rule here. This is my game. I made up this game. Now what happens is we each say our main film, and then we go on to talk about the rest of them. Because I've got shit all over your parade there.
I think it's fine, because now you got to list your four other films, and then you've also managed to sneak in Donnie Darko, Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, Legally Blonde's in there as well, by the way. Fantastic film, and Gosford Park.
No, not for me. But what a year. You've got The Others with Nicole Kidman, which is superb.
Scary, that one. That's a scary film.
Scary.
Yeah. I saw that and it scared me, and I was too young.
You've also got The Man Who Wasn't There, one of the forgotten Coen Brothers movies.
I've never seen that. I don't know anything about it.
Black and white, Billy Bob Thornton. Oh. He plays a barber. It's one of really early Scarlett Johansson appearance. It's so dry, deadpan. It's kind of a noir, pulpy sort of film. It's super slept on. It's so good. And that's there. Josie and the Pussycats. You know, that's slept on.
Never heard of it.
You've covered the year, so well done.
Yeah, thanks, man.
2001, man.
Wow. I don't know if there was a better year for me in the ones that I covered so far. I haven't done all the way to the end yet, but so far, 2001 is the standout year for me.
And yet, for me, there was no other choice. It's always and forever going to be Spirited Away.
2002.
2002, okay. Well, I mean, we've given the game away already. I'm just going to say mine is Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. I do have a guess of what yours is, though.
I'd say this is tough for you. If you get it, I'll be...
It is tough. There's a few that it could be.
There's a few that are sniffing around.
But I'm going to go with adaptation.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
There we go.
It's adaptation.
And if it wasn't Spirited Away in 2001, would it have been Training Day?
No, because that's the year before. Why are you saying Training Day again?
Because it came up in 2000. It was in my 2001 list.
Yeah, we're in 2002.
No, I'm saying if it wasn't Spirited Away in the last year, would it have been Training Day?
Hang on a sec. We've moved sections. What are you doing?
I'm just saying I want this to be a kind of, I know you and your film tastes thing well. I've got you on adaptation. That's a hard... I didn't get you on it. I thought that it might be your favourite and it was a hard year. If Spirited Away hadn't been your favourite last year... Would it have been Training Day, or were there others that would have got in the way there?
Monsters, Inc. is getting in the way. Monsters, Inc. comes on, or Training Day comes on, Training Day, I'm watching Monsters, Inc. I think The Others is far superior to Training Day.
Really? I've pegged you all wrong, man. I think you've talked to me about Training Day a few times, and you've given me the impression that you're in love with that film.
It's a good, meaty crime thing. The problem with Training Day is there's a key moment in the film that relies on a quirk of luck that is kind of bullshit, and it doesn't ruin it because the rest of the film is so good. And also the fact that was the film that people really started to sit up and take notice of Denzel Washington properly, even though he'd been in Malcolm X and fucking shitloads of other stuff. I'm very fond of Training Day.
Okay.
But no.
It was a tough year. Yep.
So you've gone back. Now can we go back to 2002?
Of course we can. Yeah, and we're talking about adaptation.
Can you guess what my number two would be?
Bourne Identity.
Nope.
Really not. Interesting. Then I don't think I can unless it was City of God.
No, mate. No, my snobbery
doesn't allow you. Yeah.
Happens a little later. No, it's
you'll have to tell me then. Minority Report, man.
Minority Report is so good.
Man, you're such a canon guy. Sometimes I forget how like canon adjacent you are. Because I think of you as like, oh, this guy's a film expert, so he likes slightly more offbeat films. But no, like you like Tom Cruise. I forget that you like Tom Cruise. I need to remember that when I'm picking your favorites in the future.
It's not that I like Tom Cruise. That film is so good. Yeah. It's a bit too long when you rewatch it, but it's Spielberg operating he's on all cylinders. Yeah. It's super sci-fi. It looks great.
Let me tell you something, Adam. I can't remember a fucking thing about it. You could 100% get me on that. It's been years since I've seen it.
I mean, that's absolutely criminal. And I'd put Minority Report above Punch Drunk Love, just in terms of if it's coming on the telly.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a better film. Everyone calm down.
So you're watching that over Bourne Identity, if that's on telly?
Yeah. Well, one's on ITV1 and one's on ITV2. I'm watching ITV2 with Minority Report.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah,
sure.
Fuck it, man. I'm going to say it. I'm doing it.
You don't want to see Jason Bourne climbing down the side of a Swiss bank wearing a lovely, musty pink jumper and holding that red bag full of money and a gun.
I want to see Timothy Cruise in a apartment having his eyeballs taken out by Peter Stormare and having him not being able to see, and Stormare knowing that he can't see, and then there's good milk and bad milk. There's a good sandwich and there's a bad sandwich.
I've no memory of any of this.
And Cruise is walking around blindly through this flat, and he's drinking gross milk, And he can
smell the milk. That's funny that they've chosen milk, isn't it? Because
spider
like,
robots. There with is, the shut eyes. Shut up, listen.
Hold on, let me just say it, about eyes, it. Though. Because like the thing about milk, right, is that like you'd look at milk and you'd think, you open the fridge and you go, oh, this milk, it's a day or two past the use-by. And you look at it and you go, well, I mean, it looks fine, yeah. You smell it. And then you go, oh, it's not fine. I gotta get rid of that. Gotta throw that away. Yeah, it's chugging, right? Whereas, like, you
future
know,
milk doesn't.
Oh, it's future
smell.
Milk's different. I would understand if Tom Cruise had his nose chopped off and then couldn't smell anything, but he could see. But milk's the worst possible choice to try to quiz a blind person because you know you're not using your eyes with milk.
It's not about quizzing him. Yeah, it's just that it's you know what you've hit on something there, and yeah. It pains me to say.
Yeah.
But cinematically, that scene really works because you're right. Everyone can smell a stinking sandwich and milk.
They smell it. It's
but
a nose
you're
thing.
So with Cruise, and you feel like he's had something stuffed up his nose as well.
Sure.
There is a real dark humour to that scene.
Yeah.
And it's very rare to get that in a Hollywood blockbuster.
Milk
it's
of any kind.
It's a really, really good film.
Yeah.
And I won't hear a fucking word against it.
Well, I don't remember anything about it, so I can't really say anything. But other than the milk thing, I'll let it go.
But this is also the year that Blade 2 comes out, and I'm a Blade boy
I
as
knew
well.
You were going to say Blade 2. I didn't think it would be your favourite, but I did put it down as something that you would say.
Great. Pat yourself on the back.
I am just vocally patting myself on the back. That's what's going to happen for most of the rest of the hour. I got some others on here too. Do you want to hear some of mine?
Oh, well, in 2002?
Yeah. A couple of runners up for me.
Oh yeah, because we've the next 2 years for you are like just I'm the Lord of the Rings man.
Pretty much, yeah. City of God, I already mentioned it. Love that film. I know you're a snob, but I really adore that.
Oh, if that comes on, are you watching it?
No,
right.
That's why it didn't win. 28 Days Later, and I think you rewatched this fairly recently, didn't you? We talked about it on the last episode, so we won't spend too long chatting about it now. But I adore that film. I love the music, and if it comes on the TV, I'm 100% watching it. If it wasn't for Lord of the Rings, I probably would have picked The Bourne Identity. But if it wasn't for The Bourne Identity, I definitely would have picked 28 Days Later. And then a couple of others that just stood out to me from that year. Here's two that I was watching at the time. That I really remember. Phone Booth with Colin Farrell I had on video.
Stinker.
It is a stinker, but it's one of those where when you didn't have the internet and there was nothing on telly, you just watched whatever you had on video. And I think I must have watched Phone Booth 10 times, you know. I know Phone Booth back to front. It helps that there's only one set. Another one I watched at the time was The Tuxedo with Jackie Chan. Remember The Tuxedo?
I love Jackie Chan. I would never watch that kind of Hollywood drivel that ruins his talent. So no, forget it. That's
what
for kids.
What do you watch him in that isn't Hollywood drivel?
Rumble in the Bronx, Bird Strike, Police Story, Police Story 2.
Don't know those.
Drunken Master.
Have you seen Who Am I? I like that film.
No, that's one of his shitter ones.
Right, okay.
Watched all the wrong ones. A classic case of Joe's watched all the shit ones.
Yes. And then the final one was 24 Hour Party People, which I discovered later, not in 2002, but I really love that film and it's very fun to watch. And if that comes on, I am watching it. It ticks that box.
There's lots of good films in 2002.
Yeah.
2003.
It's me, isn't it?
It's you, yeah. I have a guess of what you've picked here.
You're not going to get
it. It was really hard and I don't think I'm going to get it. My guess was Old Boy.
Oh, look at him. He gets me.
Did I get
it? You get me.
I know you, man.
You get me, man.
Yeah, there you go. Tell me about... I've never seen Old Boy. I know I should watch it, but tell me about Old Boy.
It's phenomenal. This was the film that really got me into Korean cinema, and I love wearing my Korean cinema badge.
Right, yeah.
My little scout badge.
Sure.
I like Korean cinema.
Have you seen any other Korean film?
Oh, yeah, fuck loads. So throughout this list, I'll tell you the Korean film I would have seen. You know, whichever the big one. There'll always be a couple of big... Well, yeah, there'll be some big ones that...
Yeah.
Get notice and get distributed in the UK, and
right.
I'll be hoovering them up.
Fuck me.
And this is my gateway.
Okay.
This was my gateway drug.
Yeah. Something about him being in a box, isn't it?
It just transcends genre.
Yeah.
It's like Korean cinema tends to just... It's
I love when somebody... I'm so sorry. I love when somebody... I say that all the time about films that I really love that I'm trying to get someone to watch. And if I think they're not into it, I'm like, don't worry, it transcends the genre. It really... It's a special, special film.
Old Boy's crime. It's violent. But it's also there's a certain certain heightened emotional sensibility in their films. Mm-hmm. Everything's a bit bigger, and then you buy it because when we talked about this, foreign films can get away with a bit more. Like you know when you watch a French film, and you're reading the dialogue and it feels quite bog standard, and yet at the same time it feels so evocative and powerful. If English people are saying those lines, you'd go, oh, fuck that. Nah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
rubbish. And, there's a particular specific vibe that you get from Korean films. And Old Boy is the best. Korean vibe. Yeah, it's just really good and dark and odd and violent and sad. And it's...
Well, they're taking over cinema, aren't they, the Koreans, in the recent years, making some absolutely fucking unbelievable movies.
This is the beginning, that they're just on a consistent run.
Right. In which case, then as to a non Korean vibe checker, Korean cinema vibe checker guy, I've noticed, I mean, obviously Parasite kind of drifted right into the core canon. And then the Korean American movies like Past Lives last year, for example, you know.
Yeah, and that's just the latest iteration of a long tradition of great films.
I've got to dig down deeper. I'll watch Old Boy.
What I find interesting, I didn't really realize that same year Kill Bill comes out.
Yeah.
And all the losers who know nothing about films, they're going to go for the famous, violent, obvious film, Kill Bill.
I nearly said Kill Bill for you because that description, that felt accurate.
Well, that just would have been offensive to me because as good as Kill Bill is, and it is,
it's a good
watchable flick.
Yeah, it is.
It's got nothing on Old Boy.
Sure.
Now, what are you picking? Oh, we know what you're picking. You're picking... Lord of the Rings 3.
I'm picking Return of the King, motherfucker. That's what I'm picking.
So you can name four other films that were coming up, nipping. Was anything even... I don't think there's going to be much even nipping at the heels.
Oh, there's one big time nipping at the heels here.
Ooh, oh, yeah, of course there is. Nipper. Lost in Translation.
That's it, which for a long time was my answer to what's your favourite film, Lost in Translation. I don't say it anymore because I've permanently shelved the film. And do you know, I did it accidentally for a couple of years, and then I formalized it when we watched and recorded a podcast about another film that came out in 2003, which would have made this list had we not rewatched it, which was The Recruit. I very fondly remembered The Recruit, having not seen it for 10, 15 years, and upon a rewatch, it didn't deserve that that nostalgia. So with Lost in Translation, I think I've permanently shelved it. I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again. I want to remember how much I enjoyed it as a younger person and never spoil that by dipping back in when it's entirely unnecessary. But if it wasn't for Lord of the Rings, Lost in Translation is running away with it in the year of 2003.
It's great, you know. It meant something to you then.
Yeah.
You were a different person then.
It continued to for, I would say, 10 years after. I haven't seen it since maybe I was like 27 or something.
I just think you start to build your identity around that. You're like, oh yeah, I'm Mr. Lost in Translation. And then I bet every time that you said that to someone, you saw the kind of disdain in someone's eye, like, this fucking loser loves Lost in Translation, and then you held on to that and you thought, yes please, I like that, I love the fact that this has surprised and angered someone, and I'm going to use it as an anchor point, and I'm going to build my personality around Lost in Translation being my surprise favourite film of all time.
I mean, like, to be honest, like, I never thought of it as a surprise because it's obviously such a good film, but my main thing was I was wishing it was Korean because that would really help my my kudos, you know. But I didn't have that. Unfortunately, I didn't have that.
You're ragging on me for being centre canon. Lost in Translation is so bog standard centre Pinterest canon.
Pinterest
it's like
canon.
The most. Oh yeah, they just karaoke.
Yeah.
And Scarlett Johansson's in her pants and she wears a wig. It is dreary and obvious.
Yeah.
We said we wouldn't rag on people's films.
No, don't worry. Listen, it's good that you're letting a little bit of you slip out. It's fine. It's ever so often. You've had it 2003. You can't have it again until 2008 or something. You've got 5 years off now.
Yeah.
Anyway, a few other films, because you said I could have four, that nearly made it for me. School of Rock. Love School of Rock. Think it's amazing. Didn't know for years that it was directed by Richard Linklater. In fact, I didn't know that until the last 3 years, maybe. And that just makes it ever so sweeter for me. Very oddly, another case of had it on VHS, watched it loads and loads and loads, was Bad Boys 2.
Ooh.
Had never seen Bad Boys 1, but I watched Bad Boys 2 a good 10 times, to the extent where I think I could probably, you know, when the film is playing, I could probably talk along to many of the lines.
I mean, I'd count that as a forgot you forgot.
Probably.
You can get me on Bad Boys 2 anytime you want.
2000. And four.
This year is strong as fuck, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, 2004 is a good year. It's also your first year that's a hard guess for you, I would say.
It's a toughy wuffy because we've got Azkaban floating around.
Azkaban is floating
and you
around.
You love Azkaban.
I really do.
I might hang my hat on Azkaban. We've got Troy floating around and you love Troy. Oh, I might just do the obvious. I'll say Bourne Supremacy.
It is not Bourne Supremacy.
Okay. I'm not guessing again. So you get one guess for it.
Would it help you if I said you haven't mentioned the film yet?
Yeah, but I've seen things that I haven't mentioned. Oh, is it Team America?
No.
Okay, I went Bourne Supremacy. What is it? I didn't get it.
It's Before Sunset.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
I just don't think he is intellectually romantic enough to pick that. And the fact that you picked it, you know, you go up in my estimation a bit there. I sort of always, yeah, I just thought you were a bit of a thicko Damon head.
I am also a thicko Damon head.
When did you see that film? When did you see Before Sunset? How old were you and where were you as a person?
I would have been like between the ages of 16 and 18, I think.
Okay.
I didn't see it in 2004.
That's okay, but you also saw it you've not even seen it at the right time, but go on then.
Sure.
Had you seen Before Sunrise?
Oh, it's Before Sunset, the second one?
Yeah.
I thought it was the first one. I'm getting them confused. When's the first one come out?
1998 or something.
Yeah, I was surprised that this was started so late. I was like, why is this much later than I remember?
This is the second one. This is where they re-meet.
This is the one where they're in Paris and they walk around Paris and talk after the bookshop. Oh, that is such a good film as well. I love
it's
that.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm happy with my pick. Even though I thought it was the other one, I'm still happy with it. It still beats out the others for me.
I watched the Before films perfectly.
Yeah, favourite.
Right? Yeah. I watched the first one when I was 16 or 17,
mm-hmm.
when I believed in romantic love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I watched the second one in my mid-20s when I knew, when I was a little bit more jaded.
Sure.
But
you still wanted to have sex with people. Yeah.
Still wanted to have sex. And I watched Before Midnight when they're married and hate each other.
Yeah.
When I was married and I hated each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I understand. It's very special to you, and I know that your life has echoed the lives of the people in the Before Sunset, Sunrise, Midnight movies. I found that when I had watched Return of the King, for example, that I didn't need to have fought in the battle for Middle Earth. I could imagine what it would be like to slaughter hundreds of orcs.
Joe.
Yeah.
If I said to you, I know what it's like for my dad to be dead.
Yeah.
What would you say to me?
I'd say, I don't think you do.
Right. Okay. So should we just, because I don't, do I? Your dad's dead and you know what that's like, right?
Yeah.
And my dad isn't.
Yeah.
So your whole argument is fucking fucked.
Is it? Because one of them's a parent and the others are films, you know, where they're already symbolic representations of something. They're not literal, are they? Like you weren't literally in before sunrise or before
sunset.
No,
but they are literally about the romantic experience.
Are you saying no one can enjoy them other than if they watch them at the right age?
They might like them, but there's no way they could possibly connect with them in the way that I have.
Okay, right. Now we've hit the nub. Okay, so I might, in the game of favourites, I am allowed to say it, but as long as I acknowledge that there's no feasible way that I could have emotionally connected with it on the same level that you did.
You might have if you told me now that you watched it in your mid-20s when you were... You know,
I also
did.
Watched it in my mid-20s. Yeah,
exactly. And
it's a beautiful thing about those films. What's interesting about those films, you see, is that actually I watched them when I was younger and then middle and then older. And I watched them all at those times. So I actually have three different experiences of them and you only have one. It seems like maybe there's more multitudes in my version of it than there are in yours. So in a way, I've connected with it three different ways. I've felt the way I feel about those films change over time because I've grown, you know. And that's interesting, isn't it? That's interesting, that thought.
Yeah, I like that. That spans time.
Although it spans. It sprawls.
I saw them first.
Yeah.
Seeing a film once first.
Yeah.
That's a very special time,
that's important.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's vital, you know?
Yeah. Well, I picked it anyway because it's absolutely beautiful. And if anyone, I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast has seen those films, but if they haven't, Richard Linklater's Before trilogy, they're absolutely wonderful. And if you're the right age and Adam says it's okay, you should 100% see them.
I've rewatched both Sunrise and Sunset very recently with my wife.
Yeah.
We didn't actually weirdly get to rewatch Midnight.
Oh, no? We didn't rewatch Midnight? No?
Because that's a little bit too close to the bone.
Yeah, you can't watch that with a spouse.
It was too close to the bone when we watched it when it came out. And it's certainly too close to the bone now.
Big time.
If you watch that film, there'll be no close to bone anything.
No, it's very
after
far
the
from
movie.
Bone. Yeah, it's far from
you'll
bone.
You'll be very far.
It's close to the bone, but it's far from your bone.
So what's my favourite film of 2004?
This was not hard, I will say. It's Sideways.
Oh. Mate, you fucked it.
Have I fucked
You've
it?
Absolutely fucked it. What? Have another go.
Really?
Yeah. That's not even... That's maybe number five?
Really? You're always talking about that film.
That's just because it's a really... It's like a canon, solid film. Like, if that comes on, sure, I'll probably watch it. But no way is that...
You didn't pick the same as me, did you?
I didn't. Came close. That felt like the film that I would like to say, but there's another film that just was unequivocally... If this film comes on, I know it off by heart. I'm watching it. I don't watch it anymore, but I know it off by heart, and it's the film of that year.
I'm going back to look online because I can't see anything else on my list of nearlies that you... Oh. Is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
No.
No?
Although that is in my... That was a possible, but...
Is it Dead Man's Shoes? It's not Primer. The Primer I've got written down, but I don't think it's Primer, is it?
You're saying all the other films on my list except...
Okay, wait, no, wait. Let me get it,
Come on.
It's not Layer Cake.
Maybe scroll up. I think you've scrolled down too quickly.
What have I gone past, though? What could I have possibly... It's not Kill Bill Volume 2. Oh, it's Anchorman, for fuck's sake.
There we go.
Okay, I was so sure it was going to be Sideways. But I guess you are often talking about Anchorman 2. Fair enough. I didn't even see Anchorman.
I'm not talking about Anchorman 2.
God.
Anchorman 2 is rubbish.
I didn't actually see this in the year when I was looking through. So it's not on my list, Anchorman.
You did it. Thank you. Oh, I love that
piece
joke.
Of shit.
Anchorman, you know, it was a shame. For so long, it felt like a proper cult comedy.
Yeah.
Just for me, just for my friends. And then... There was a time in the, I think it was maybe as late as the
Love Was Blind.
2010s, early, it suddenly, it had been co-opted by, you know, the bad set.
Yeah.
The people who love Step Brothers and the people who love, what's it, Old Boy? No, what's the one
Old
where they're
Boy.
Like, what's the one where they're like frat boys?
Old school.
Old school.
Yeah.
Old school.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is a bad, is objectively a bad film, I would say, Old School.
Yeah.
Step Brothers, I think, is a fun film. Old School is not fun at all.
There was a point where Anchorman came out. It died at the box office.
Yeah.
It lived on video, and it was this really small, odd film. It's all kind of cut together from improving. There's barely any story to it.
Mm.
It's just great. And then it got ruined for a long time. And now I feel like it's been thankfully forgotten.
Right.
In the same way the Big Lebowski got co-opted by a bunch of fucking losers.
Right.
And kind of commodified.
Yeah. It kind of became stoner culture, the Big Lebowski, didn't it?
Yeah, and they did bowlathons and it was a white Russian this and the dude that. It's like, fuck off. It is. Can we just stop turning things into fancy dress?
Yeah. Also, it's with those films where always frustrates me when the culture around it absorbs the dressing, but it doesn't absorb the core. You know, like the Big Lebowski, the dressing isn't what the film is about, but it's what ends up, ratifying the culture around it.
Yeah, I mean, Anchorman.
Anchorman.
Anchorman. Anchorman. Anchorman is a satire of sexism.
Sure.
But everyone who's then saying all the quotes about, the sexist quotes that Ron Burgundy says.
Sure.
They're saying those without any irony whatsoever.
Yes.
They just believe it.
Yeah.
And so then it all kind of ruins it.
It's another film that lies about milk, you know?
Yeah, milk was a bad choice.
Milk is always a good choice, you know, unless, of course, you haven't got any eyes to check whether or not the milk has gone
off. Fun fact about me. Mm. Whenever I was in a pub quiz, I would insist on calling the team name Milk Was a Bad Choice.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. And imagine doing that now. Not now, but a couple of years ago. Who that would make you in the pub quiz zone. It's like, oh, yeah. There's a normal guy. A moron.
No one knows. No, the thing is, no one's remembering that I've picked the best quote.
Mate, Milk Was a Bad Choice is the quote from Anchorman. It's the one everyone knows now. Because he says it with all memes. Milk coming out of his mouth. I thought you were about to say, that's because of you. That's because of me.
It's because of me.
Words got around from you and all your pub quizzes. This guy knows the best quote. Yeah.
What I love about Anchorman is it is pure lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
Because they tried to do it again. Anchorman 2 is just this big old stinker of... Yeah. It's a laugh-free zone.
It's a waft of guff, isn't it?
It's a waft of guff. It's a waft of nothing.
Mm.
I love Will Ferrell. Paul Rudd's great. Yeah. Steve Carell had a good run. The other guy, David something or other.
Sure.
He's great. You know, he pops up and stuff. They have never been better in anything other than that film. That is... And it's because they're almost like they didn't really know what they were going to get at the end of it.
Yeah. Well, the run that Will Ferrell goes on after that as well, it's something, it just came up and again as I was going through the years, that whether or not you like the films or think they're good movies, quote, very successful films that definitely kind of landed with the generation of the time all the way through the next 6-7 years.
He was the Jim Carrey of the age.
Yeah, yeah. He really was.
And I still really like him.
Yeah. A whole wheel of cheese.
Oh, Baxter, 2005.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I'm not done.
Oh, okay.
You haven't let me do any of my side movies. Howl's Moving Castle is an alt for near pick for me. Love that movie as well. Not quite as much as Spirited Away. Azkaban, you mentioned that off the bat.
Come on, Azkaban.
Azkaban's close. Azkaban's close.
It's
terrific. For me, not the best Harry Potter film. A little bit of a controversial opinion. We'll talk more about that later. You mentioned Troy as well. Here's a couple that I loved as a teenager.
Napoleon Dynamite.
No, Napoleon Dynamite is not on my... What do you think of me, man? Come on. I've plumbed you. I've plumbed you for three out of 4 years so far. And then you're coming at me with Napoleon Dynamite. Not even on my list. Not even on my list, okay? Dodgeball.
I was just about to say Dodgeball. Beautiful, beautiful, lovely. What a lovely, lovely comic timing.
Well, it's funny, we just talked about Anchorman. Dodgeball was the big comedy movie of that year, which hasn't had the same long life But was very popular at the time, was very funny. I enjoyed Dodgeball.
I think, well, that's still sticking around.
It's still around.
That's on your streaming service.
It's sniffing the edges of the canon, Dodgeball, I would say.
People getting hit in the faces.
It is funny, yeah.
I watched it with my 8-year-old daughter last year,
yeah.
So she would have been 7.
Yeah.
And they cut one of my favourite lines.
Did they? Which line?
Well, we're not going to be able to include it in the podcast.
Oh. Just a few quick ones more. Hidalgo with Viggo Mortensen's a lovely horse racing film.
Daddy Hidalgo,
which is it's set in the Gulf. I think it's set in Saudi Arabia. Lovely horse race film. The remake of Alfie with Jude Law. I watched a lot as a teenager because it was very sexy. And similarly sexy was The Girl Next Door with Emile Hirsch and Alicia Cuthbert, yeah.
From 24.
Yeah, and I loved Emile Hirsch, and I saw that film so many times. I watched it again about 2 years ago, maybe, and it's not quite as fun as it was as a teenager, but it's still a good movie.
Well, I just want to...
If you'd asked me in 2004 what was my favourite film... Girl Next Door could have been an answer.
Yeah, but I'm asking you now.
What's
and
wrong with me saying some
ago.
Of these? I'm just chucking some in.
No, and I'm like, just, you know, for the purposes of this, just...
What have
just
you got stuck
back.
In your craw? You pushed back on my pick. I said Before Sunset, you spent an hour telling me that I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was 16.
Listen, you said, when I said, these are the films, if they come... So if Girl Next Door comes on telly, are you watching it?
Sure. Yeah, it depends which scene's on.
Bingo, bango, bongo. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, if it's past the 60-minute mark and then all the fun bits are done, I might not.
Oh, okie dokie.
Yeah.
Are you ready for 2005?
I am so ready for 2005.
2005.
Let's get to 2005.
Oh, 2005.
You're going to guess me now.
I am. This was really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This year is a real... I don't want to say nothing. I think before you guess, I want to discuss this year.
Okay, yeah.
In vague terms.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff kind of floating around.
Yes.
There's some good stuff.
Some good bits.
But it feels this feels like the first year, which is a little bit
bleh.
Iffy,
bleh.
Bleh. Bleh.
Yeah.
And before you pick, I had a copper bottomed. Okay, that's got to be the film.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about it now, and I've only ever seen that film once.
Oh no!
And if it comes on,
yeah.
Am I watching it?
Right.
And I know you know what film I'm saying.
Oh, maybe. Okay, maybe we're talking about different films. Maybe we're talking about different films.
Well, now I'm thinking, I basically want to change my pick.
Okay. Well, look, I had two thoughts about what you would have picked. Okay. In the end, I went for the one that I've never seen that I think you like.
Oh, okay.
And that's not the other one that you're talking about. So the one I went for was History of Violence.
Ooh, man. No, definitely not.
Definitely not. Okay.
Only saw it once and had no inclination to rewatch it.
It's just that whenever I talk about Aragorn, Viggo Mortensen, you ask me if I've seen History of Violence and I say no. And you go, oh, you've got to watch it as if it's the best film ever.
I've never said that to you.
I think you have ever. Told me to watch History of Violence.
You just to fill in your knowledge. A
couple of times.
Not as a recommendation.
No, but now I can see it was more of a needle than it was a film that you love. Okay. Well, the other one is the one I've picked, and it's the only other one I thought that you might go for this year, which is Brokeback Mountain. I know I've spoiled your ability to guess for me, but I think it was probably obvious.
That's fine. I don't mind me not guessing you. That was obviously the pick
yeah.
for you. But now I look at it,
so it was your pick, but now you're changing it.
I mean, that's not the movie. I'm looking at all the other movies. I'm looking at more watchable movies, basically.
Really?
They're all not very good.
No. And the favourite isn't totally encapsulated by watchable.
I think it is for this year. I think I saw Brokeback Mountain in so far a lot far ago in the mists of time. Who even was I?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
You were a guy in 2005.
I mean, even Batman Begins
yeah.
that's probably, if that's coming on telly, if that's on coming on ITV4 and Brokeback is on BBC4, I'm watching Batman Begins.
Yeah, I understand that, but like, you know, to give you some more context here, I've got the 40-year-old virgin on my list, and if that comes on TV and Brokeback's on the other channel, I might watch the 40-year-old virgin. But for me, that doesn't mean that Brokeback isn't my favourite film of the year. For me, Brokeback Mountain is such a strong movie. I rewatched it a bunch of times. I rewatched it as recently as within the last year. It's achingly beautiful. And it also my love for it grows every time I watch it. I think going back to the conversation about Before Sunset, the right age to watch a film, I don't know what that is for Brokeback Mountain. Every time I watch it just gets better and better.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a really short combo. It is obviously the best film of that year. You know, you've got the squid and the whale knocking around.
Which I couldn't believe was 2005, by the way. I could have sworn that was 5 years later. I was really surprised to see it in that year.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is really watchable.
Yep.
But you have Michael Haneke's Cachet, a.k.a. Hidden.
Never seen that.
Which is pipping. That's if you want to, you know, if you want to throw in a little art house to kind of push back on a Brokeback, yeah. You can go, well, I'm a Michael Haneke fan, so I prefer Cachet. Mm-hmm. You might call it Hidden.
Yeah. Is that the film you'd really like good. To say that is your favourite?
From that year, I wouldn't. No. That chat's a whole other thing. Okay. That is up there with Brokeback. I've seen both of those films once,
right,
and they both left me with a very strong, echoey, emotional feeling.
Is there a reason you haven't watched Brokeback Mountain again?
Homophobia.
Yeah, I did think. I wondered.
No, I just I never bought it on DVD.
Yeah,
it doesn't crop up on. Never really cropping up on your BBCs or your ITVs.
You've got to buy that shit.
It's not a Christmas movie in the same way that Indiana Jones is.
I might be wrong, but I don't think it's ever been on Netflix or Amazon Prime.
You know, and is that whose fault is that?
Do you want to take a little sojourn and play a box office game for Brokeback Mountain?
Obviously, of course I do.
All right. Let's do that then. It was 2005, as we said. It's nice to have one box office game in this episode, isn't it? It was January the 13th. That was the release date. I guess they thought the Oscars is coming. Do you want to have a guess at the brackets estimated budget for Brokeback Mountain?
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is...
A lot of location work up on that damn mountain.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, beyond that and spending some money on a big tractor or two...
Well, still, it's Ang Lee.
It's Ang Lee.
It's Jake and it's Heath, and of course it's Anne and it's what's her name from Dawson's Creek?
Michelle Williams.
There you go. It's Michelle.
Yeah.
You know, so you're right. It's all the location, and they know it's one of those prestige pictures. Back in the day, they used to make these with a view. To get an Oscar.
Yeah.
So they would spend a little bit more money than you'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It cost $20 million?
Not far off. It cost $14 million.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty tidy.
I mean, to be fair, they always wear the same clothes because they're cowboys. So you're saving money. There is a hat budget. A lot of hats, but it's always the same hat.
Moustache budget.
There's a moustache budget. Absolutely. And there's a little bit of rodeo budget because I don't know if you remember, there's some rodeo scenes in that film. Well, there you go. What about opening weekend US and Canada, Adam? Oh, actually, it says it opened on December the 11th, not January.
It's, again, people don't tend to rush out to see these until they know... It's won or it's gonna win.
Or it's locked on, yeah.
Yeah, because they're all little sheeple. The sheeple need to know,
yeah. Oh,
is this going to be the thingy? So I think it's going to open small.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not super small, because you've still got, you know, you've got Heath and Jake,
uh-huh.
Michelle and Anne, Ang Lee, lest we forget.
Don't forget Ang Lee.
Oh, you wouldn't like me when I'm Ang Lee. I love that joke.
It is. It's a Stuart Lee joke.
Yeah, for those who aren't familiar.
Just in case people thought that you were being racist, what you're actually doing was quoting an ironic joke by an existing comedian.
Yeah. That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
500,000?
Oh, on the money, 547.
Oh, come on.
Pretty good, man. That was a good guess.
You should be a little bit...
That was a good guess. Well within the 10%, and when the number's so small... That is a victory lap.
That's not a good guess. It's a great guess.
Yeah, great guess. Yeah. Gross worldwide.
Well, this is where things really open up.
This is where all the buttons roll off the table.
Because everyone starts going, oh, it's won an Oscar.
A flood of interested observers.
This is the little engine that could.
I mean, and it did. Or did it?
Oh, okay, boy, did it.
Or did it?
Oh man, I was really going to under. I mean, I'm either under egging or over egging. Mm. That's all there is to it. It's how much I under egg.
There's going
to
be an egg involved in this one way or another. What would be a good return for a movie with a $14 million budget that they probably spent some money on ahead of the Oscars, right?
50 would be like a Hurt Locker type sitch.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what we're looking at, Hurt Locker type money.
And do you think it's, when it comes to egg, is it a bigger or smaller egg than the Hurt Locker?
I think it's a bigger egg than Hurt Locker.
But could it
actually
be an ostrich egg? Or is it just some kind of eagle egg?
See, so Hurt Locker, as I recall, cost around the same sort of money.
Yeah, it did. It cost 15.
And made 50.
Something like that, yeah.
This cost around the same. I think it's going to make more.
Uh-huh. Emu?
More than war.
Commodore?
Commodore?
A cormorant? What are they called, those bigger?
Cormorant? Yeah, cormorant.
A cormorant?
Does it bust 100?
Well, I mean, what does ostrich mean to you? Fastest land bird.
I just can't imagine it busting 100. Let's say 90.
The egg, there's so much egg, it's like it's spilling over your plate. You couldn't even keep this much egg on one or two plates. It made $178 million.
Ooh, wowzers and trousers.
That is some return, huh?
That's...
You can see why the industry loved Ledger and Gyllenhaal so much, because they making money.
But that's not why that film made money.
No.
It's got nothing to do with either of
them.
Well,
sure, but, you know, retrospectively...
No, not even retrospectively.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, because you're saying like that like they opened the movie. They didn't.
I'm not saying they opened the movie. I'm saying retrospectively, they were terrific in the film. And they were the reason that the film was good.
Well, Ang Lee, come on. Don't overlook Ang Lee.
I'm not overlooking Ang Lee. I'm simply saying that when you deign to watch this film again for the second time, you will see that the performances that both the actors put in are absolutely extraordinary. And it's a beautiful film, it's a wonderful film, but the reason that it lives so long in the memory, and I honestly think the reason that it connected so much at the time was because the performances are, they're out of this world, man.
Yeah, and that's shepherded by a director.
But they're also shepherds in the film.
They're not shepherds, they're cowboys.
They're shepherds.
You know, that he's guiding that, it's in the script. Without the script, without the director, without the editor, you can edit a great performance.
Yeah.
They're nothing. Have you seen Jake Gyllenhaal in Ambulance?
Yep.
It's a fucking joke. Have you seen him in that stupid Roadhouse movie?
Nope.
He's pathetic. You know, in the wrong hands, he's an absolute shambles.
They're not cowboys, though. They are shepherds. You understand?
I don't know what you're saying.
I'm saying in the film, the characters they'll play the role of shepherds.
Okay, well, yeah, okay, fine.
As opposed to cowboys.
I mean, for me, it's a cowboy movie.
Yeah, because they're wearing cowboy hats. Is that why?
Yeah, I think that's just the group name, and that's how it's referred to.
Yeah,
you know.
I think in biblical times it was shepherd first, wasn't it?
It depends.
You didn't have cowboys back in Jesus' time. You just had shepherds.
Yeah, but it's not in the past, though.
No. I'm just thinking about it just generally. And maybe you're right. Maybe now it is the group. It's the collective noun for those people. Ranch hands.
Yes. Yeah.
Best boys, hands, best boy grips,
cowboys,
you know, cow people.
Yeah.
But whereas back in the day, it was shepherds, wasn't it? Was there any more delineation?
Are you inventing this now?
What?
Is this for you?
Is what?
For you, like, going, oh, no, they're shepherds.
What? Am I saying they're shepherds?
Yeah.
No, their role in the film is they go up a mountain with sheep, and their job is to look after and shepherd the sheep.
Let's split the difference. Mm. Okay, here's the letterbox. Two modern day cowboys meet on a shepherding job.
Oh, mate.
Okay, look, we both win.
Okay,
let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. They could be cowboys and not be cowboying.
Right. Fine. You know, you've been a cunt and I've been a cunt.
Like, I'm a musician, but I haven't played the guitar for like 2 years.
Two modern-day cowboys meet on a shepherding job, okay? Yeah. On the Venn diagram, there's a bigger thing, who they are, cowboys, yeah. And then there's the job that they're doing, shepherding.
Yeah.
Okay, we're both right. Let it go.
I know. And when you come to your edit, I think you'll find that my musician and guitar joke is the perfect out.
For you, what else is within a whiff of Brokeback in this kind of, I'd say, slightly iffy year?
Yeah, it is a little iffy. Well, Goblet of Fire, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Harry Potter 4, I enjoyed. And I enjoy more as the years go on, Harry Potter 4. The other one, not within a whiff of Brokeback Mountain. Not even close, but it is a film that I watched a lot when I was a teenager that came out this year, and it was the film Hitch with Will Smith. And Kevin James?
Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Eva Mendes, you know.
That was around. Why don't you say, you never say Eva Mendes nuts. You only ever say Sam Mendes nuts.
Because it feels like I'm asking Eva to mend D's nuts. Yeah. You know, and that's not.
You know, you're not about quality, are you?
You got any more from that year to mention? Any other whiffers?
There's The Proposition, which is...
What's that?
That's stars Guy Pearce, written by Nicky Cave. It's a good Aussie outback flick, and Ray Winston's really meaty in it.
Oh.
It's a good little flick. It's not coming anywhere close to, being anyone's favourite, I would say.
Well, just looking back at this first episode here, Adam, I'm going to take Brokeback Mountain as a guess because I think that is what you were saying. I obviously didn't get you on Sideways, misread that one. Old Boy, I got you. Adaptation, I got you. Training Day, I missed the mark, you know, and I got you on Memento. I'm going to say that's a pretty good run of me knowing you on movies. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think you've done pretty well. I mean, what I was going to say, it's been easy on me because of like half of the flicks... or Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
So it doesn't even count as a game for me.
No.
So anyway, let's leave it there with me on the last word for this episode. That was Pick Your One.
Yeah.
We did 2000 to 2005. Next episode, we will be rattling all the way to 2011.
Oof.
But we're tired now. We've been chatting for nigh on 2 hours. And it's time to say goodnight. Say goodnight, Joe.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.